Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Ethical Slut podcast. Today, we have Master Okami on the podcast. Hello, Master Okami, and how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me, Louise. This is a long time coming, so to speak.
Pun intended.
Yes, puns are always intended.
Especially the dirty ones.
Oh, yes.
Listeners, Master Okami has a podcast called Gasm, Gasm. I highly recommend you check it out. Master Okami is a dom, and I'd like to start with how you would define a dom, or how you see yourself as a dom. And perhaps a little bit first about how you got into it.
Well, I initially got into it. There was a movie back in the 90s, and forgot the name of it, but it starred Terrence Stamp, and he was a psychologist, and he helped women achieve orgasm without the knowledge of, of the husbands, because they had been through some trauma in their lives, and he would help them break through that trauma in order for them to achieve an actual orgasm.
Wow.
Once I figured out, I'll let you know. But it kind of sat with me, and when I did research on that movie, it brought up a whole slew of things about, BDSM and different things like that. Because it was that movie was kind of dealt with that, and
Wow.
for the longest time I was like, this was interesting. And I turned.
I
Go ahead.
can relate to that because I do feel drawn towards the submissive space, even though I haven't had an opportunity to play that out, except for little bits and pieces with Damien Black. At an earlier stage in our relationship, we were pursuing that deliberately as a relationship style as well as like a sexual style, and it's just true. As you self know, like long distance relationships are hard enough, cross cultural, we're trying to do we really just so many rookie mistakes at, in polyamory, let alone like all of that. But now it's just kind of a small part of the sexual our sexual dynamic, which I'm looking forward to exploring because I do feel that I've got that, I find it hard to orgasm, and I feel that in my being, I was just fully let go.
Exactly.
That can help me just, release that stuff because, and I do feel very comfortable in that space because it is when you s slip into it, it's like slipping into a dream.
And
And
that's the thing, like that's not the orgasm part, but that is 95% of what a dom does is to make the submissive feel safe enough to just let go of everything. You know what I mean? Just be.
yeah,
Just
and
be.
it And it and the pain that you experience becomes neutralized
Exactly.
by the submission, by the letting go. And
Submissives have all power.
I'm hoping to heal some of, because I have pain from probably from cysts on my ovaries and from also having surgery on my cervix. I had precancerous cells a few times removed a few times, so it's sensitive there. So
Wow.
it's difficult. Yeah, it can be difficult with guys who are like longer. but with the pain. But I've experimented a little bit with slipping into like just letting go, and I kind of imagine it's Damien rather than the guy that I'm actually having sex with. And I imagine like, like getting into that like with him. But and trying that to, 'cause I wanna, and as you know, I'm absolutely desperate to go over and see him, and I'm contemplating doing that soon. Like he and I, we've been back and forth about who come, whether he comes here or I go there at the moment with the listeners. As we speak in the States, there's what's exactly going on again? Can you give the Cliff Notes version? Because people will be listening to this in the future.
Our glorious idiot in chief, basically, he wants to put a wall at the Mexican-American border because he's a racist piece of shit. And because he didn't get his wall funding from the government, he shut the government down for over a month, which made it to where there was 800,000 government employees that were either furloughed, had their money furloughed and still had to work, or they couldn't work at all. So
It's terrible.
that included like all forms of government.
Unimaginable. These poor people who, and just to make it about me, it means that I don't know how long it's going to be, because Damien doesn't have a passport. He hasn't had need of one until now. I don't know how long that's going to be, and I cannot put up with the bad sex I'm having in my postcode any longer. I don't like the cold, but I might just, I'm still sitting on this, but so I guess,
Hey, there's some good dick in the States. I'm just saying.
well, there's some, I think there's some good dick in, I'm kind of, I'm pretty sure Damien's, well, he's all the dick I need.
Good deal, good deal.
Anything else is just frosting.
Touche.
Pun intended.
Pun always.
So back to yourself, and okay, so you heard about this guy who was able to support women into getting back in touch with their sexual selves and able to orgasm, and then you looked into the some of the what the behind that, which is the BDSM, so bondage, BDSM stands for bondage, domination, and sadomasochism. Is that
Sadomasochism, correct.
it?
And there's levels
But
to
it's a, and there's, I was gonna say there's a lot more. Like the name is deceptive in many ways. Like it's a very, it's there's a whole culture around it that's has high aspirations of moral etiquette, actually. Like there's this very, it's a very strong, at least people who speak out about it, like who are advocates of it,
Yes.
that it being something that's very much about creating safe space, a consensual space. Even if the play is something that may look on the surface non-consensual or somehow,
And that's the big thing, right?
demeaning.
Consent. And a lot of people don't understand that. Like, a lot of people will see, certain aspects of BDSM and feel like that there's some sort of abuse happening, but there's not. Real BDSM is not abuse at all. It's always consensual.
I think the fine line for me is whether it's actually degrading to the person, like actually degrading, not just simulating degradation for the sake of
Degradation, right.
titillation, such as in the case when, perhaps some wealthy businessman wants to eat, dog food while getting whipped by a woman in latex, like whether it's that or whatever it is, he's, you know, he's not being abused. He's finding a release. I think it's pretty, that's in this, like, you know, pretty canon that it's a, kind of tends to be a release of the power, you know, the carrying all that power to have a break. And I think for, as a woman, and someone said this to me, my friend Kevin said this to me, but it was more in a sort of a negative light. But as a woman, I think it is about releasing myself from the hypervigilance of protection from being abused, of having that thing in that in itself, just being brought up to be afraid of and of something, you know, happening like that out of your control, because, you know, you have to be careful not to go in the wrong places or wear the wrong thing at the wrong time or give off the wrong message or just be unlucky or, you know, whatever it is. It's this looming thing that women get raped, you know, women get raped and it could be you. So watch your back. So there's, so that, that can be a thing, you know, like even during sex as well. And then the, as Jermaine Greer says, like it, worse than that, worse than rape is the, just the willingness to put up with bad sex. You know, yeah. I feel like I just starfished through my, 20s. Starfishing people is when you just basically lie there and get fucked, you know. And I just didn't know any better, and now, you know, I'm in my 40s and I'm having this sexual renaissance, and I, you know, everything's changed. Even my like suddenly my cunt has woken up. My pussy's responsive like it never used to be. It's wet like it never it used to. Whereas it used to be dry. It's like everything, and I'm like, yeah. Since I got out of my relationship, long term relationship, I've been going for it. As people, as you know, as listening to the podcast,
well, knowledge has changed. Like it's a lot. I think the way that the world was, like, you know, 10, 20 years ago, it made it to where people didn't really, weren't able to find themselves because they didn't have the knowledge of these different things. But now that, you know, we have the internet and all this other stuff, people are finding themselves a lot sooner than maybe me and you.
It's about visibility. So many things when it comes to empowerment about visibility. What you, if you see it out there, then you know that that's something that you want to aim for.
Exactly. And it's a lot more, there's a lot more people doing it now. It's a lot more, I'm not saying it's mainstream yet, but I mean, there has been some mainstream aspects of it in certain, you know, in the media or whatever that have did right by it. We're not going to talk about, what was that one book that became a movie?
50 Shades.
Yeah, they didn't do that proper.
50 Shades of Homogeny.
The movie that did it proper, though, was The Secretary. The Secretary is a prime example of how to do a BDSM movie correctly, from the psychological aspects to it, to, you know, safe words, what else? Aftercare. Aftercare is extremely important, and I didn't think they showed a lot of aftercare in the books or in the movies. I went to see them just to see how they were, because me and my wife wanted to see them, but they did not show a lot of aftercare. I mean, it was really, really done terribly.
Back to that, that's something that I think would be great to hear about on your podcast. And I just want to bring it back to that and to your personal experience. You mentioned your wife, and you and your wife have had the sub-dom relationship, at least sexually.
Yeah, it was a 24/7 thing. Like, I worked, she didn't, and, you know, that was just something that we decided to do just so we can raise the kids and have everything. So we decided we wanted to have some fun. Started out with, you know, just light spanking and things like that. Started doing research about certain things, and we just wanted to go hardcore.
You showed me you showed me a picture of a paddle that you had made for her.
Yep. It had a name on it. It said when Don's being naughty, and it has the wolf on there. And it's a nice little wolf mark once I paddle. See, a lot of people think that that's the non-paddle side, but the wolf is the paddle side. So I can leave my mark. So when there's a nice red mark, it's, you know, looks like a wolf.
I know you as Grey Wolf from the Grey Wolf podcast. So just to give you listeners a little insight, and then Grey and I have become friends on WhatsApp, and so yeah, we're talking here for the first time, but I think not for the last time, about sex and BDSM, long distance relationships. Grey is pretty schooled in feminism as well, so and ethics. So I think we've got a lot of great things to discuss. I might cap it here, though, and
that'd be perfect. And also, I just would like to say thank you for being my very first friend on this platform. Like, a lot of people don't know that, but you were the first person to like my podcast and to actually send me a message when we were way back in like 1.0. Yeah, so you're the first person. I was just starting
out. Did we chat in Anchor version 1? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I didn't realize we went back that far. That's so cool.
You rolled over to 2.0 and then even 3.0 when it's more of a podcast thing.
You know, yeah. February 2017 was when I got into Anchor version 1. So there you go. We're now nearly in February 2019. So that's 2 years. So, yeah.
To the future.
Yeah. So just to wrap this up, would you give the listeners a bit of a elevator pitch for your podcast to let them know, I guess what the purpose is. I will say to everyone, there's a little role play that's quite titillating, there's two episodes. They're a bit different from each other, but both are really interesting and engaging. So would you share a bit more about your intentions and where you want to go with it?
The reason why I created Gasm is because I wanted to create a niche for, you know, the kink podcasters. I hear a lot of people, I'll listen to a lot of kink podcasts, but they're all from, you know, the certain specific on trying to teach and everything. And I wanted to do sort of like storytelling / asking questions / getting people, you know, involved into the podcast. Like, it's not actually interactive, but it's semi-interactive, because when you listen to it, I want you to act like, you know, I'm the one speaking to you.
Yeah, it's very sexy. Listeners, it's very sexy. It's like,
I appreciate it.
Yes, I am a naughty little girl. Guilty.
Hey, the naughtier the better. That's all I got to say. That's what it's for. And another thing is, it's also really good for people who want to kind of gauge what they're into. Without having an actual person talking to them.
Yeah, they can kind of listen to me. You're not just talking about it. You're actually providing an experience. And that's how I see the point of difference with this, that the Ethical Slut podcast, is that I'm actually talking about my experiences, what I'm, you know, in explicit detail, because I can. And people seem to like it because my numbers are increasing, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah, people love kinky stuff, man. What is that old saying? Sex sells or whatever.
Yeah.
People so love it, man. Listeners... And with podcasts, you don't have to. People don't have to know that you love it. I think that's the kicker too. I mean, it's still kind of. I mean, you can subscribe to it, listen to it on your headphones. You don't have to buy a book, so people don't see books. Now, there's still some people who are kind of, you know, iffy about showing that side of them. But with podcasts, you're not getting caught with a video. You're just listening. You know what I mean?
You're in safe hands with us, listeners. We've got your back.
Yes, you are.
And your front. Yes, you are. And all the bits. Do you know what I discovered recently? Just on a bit of a tangent before we head off. I got kissed on the inside of my elbow, and oh my fucking God, I nearly died. It was so good.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at where erogenous zones are.
Yeah.
You're in the craziest of places.
And it was just the way it was done and the kind of like the... He tried to repeat it and it didn't flow as well. It wasn't as good. But the first time it happened, like when it was just this natural flow, hallelujah. it's like, oh my God. It's so good. That knees also, buckling feeling.
Speaking of you saying hallelujah, I'm going to send you a clip that I would like you to use in your own connotation, but it's hilarious, but at the same time it's kind of sexy. It's a clip from Sex in the City, and I'll send it to you. You're gonna be like, that's kind of weird, but at the same time, okay, I see what he's talking about.
Well, listeners, I will put the URL to that in the podcast notes, so check that out. All right, thank you so much, Gray, or should I say Master Okami? Did I get it right?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you. And thank you for giving my podcasts some love.
Oh, yeah. Goodbye, my little slutettes. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll speak to you soon. Mwah.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.